Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Way We Nerd. I'm Danny Villalobos. Across me in the Kansas City Chiefs hat,
Joshua Potter.
And next to him,
Josh Morin.
And across from him,
Kyle Bown.
Kansas City Chiefs, man. Woo! After Dude. That whooping, I'm surprised you're wearing that hat.
That was a butt whooping.
Here's the thing. They had a great preseason.
The feet's ball.
No, you don't get to say
you know,
that. No, they did. No.
You know what they said?
They
preseason's
great...
the most important part of the season.
Except
in every
the season.
Based on that last game.
And the postseason.
God, it was awful.
And
I had a great preseason
season
with women. Doesn't count.
Anyway,
that's the part where Josh is just looking at their pictures in the dating
app. I'm just saying.
Sports is foremost on our minds right now
because
my Giants are currently playing the Mets to a 0-0. Oh, and it's Kyle's Giants.
Yes,
are currently playing the Mets to a 0-0 tie in the top of the eighth right now, so I'm kind of nervous. So I might be quiet for a couple times. And Mr. Moorhead's Indians start their series on Friday.
Ooh, yeah.
And Josh might be going to
Native Americans, please.
The Cleveland Native Americans.
Next year they'll just be the LeBrons.
Yeah, they'll just every team in Cleveland will just call themselves the LeBrons. Hey, we're gonna have an expansion hockey team. What are we gonna call it? The Braun Bronze.
The
Cleveland Braun Bronze. But anyway, hey, speaking of which, since we all work on his lot, because Mr. LeBron James does have a office here, Spring Hill Entertainment, I believe the name of it. Has anybody seen him yet?
Yes.
Have you seen him here?
I did.
Did you go up and say hi and thank you?
I blew him.
You blew him.
Wow.
You should.
Wow. How'd that go for you?
With a mouthful.
Because most,
I bet.
Most, I don't know.
I see what you did there.
I don't know if this is the correct word for it, but most Clevelanders born from 1970 on felt they were never going to get a championship in their city. But thank you, LeBron James.
It was almost weird. It was like in The Queen when she sees that deer in the woods. And instead of doing anything, they just kind of look at each other and let it be a moment. Except that he wasn't involved.
Probably neither was the deer.
I was on a walk with a few people, and we were talking about something, and he just went by, and he was on the back of a golf cart being driven to Ellen, I think. And he was just smiling. They're all laughing, and I was laughing about something, and I was just like...
I just laughed at the same time.
I just shared laugh with LeBron.
Like, that was a man that saved my city.
I got to tell you this, to bring it back to nerd culture, you thank LeBron for that championship, but if he desecrates one of your favorite childhood movies, Space Jam, are you going to, like, turn your back
no,
on
No,
that
Space Jam to me is like Turtles, where it can't really be, as opposed to Star Wars.
Yes.
Like, it can't really be desecrated. It can just be...
Not as good.
Like, I got... Out of the Shadows on Blu-ray.
You did?
Yeah. And because I feel like I have to own it.
I need to get that.
There's too many turtle toys on my desk for me not to own
that's
it.
Bad.
And to me, like...
Did you get the one with all the masks?
They all come with the masks.
Nice.
But, so we saw it in theaters, you know, and I had, like, kind of, like, the... Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, a few months go by, and you're like, wait a minute. A turtle movie was out there with Bebop and Rocksteady and Krang and a Technodrome and da-da-da.
Yeah.
So I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, this is, like, way bad. Like, the first one has, like... I don't know. We don't have to go at all.
No, it's okay. No, I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway.
Because I still want to watch that one again because I enjoyed myself in that one. But, you know. Anyway.
It's fun things about it. It's just, whew.
Yeah.
Bad.
So, we have some things to talk about. There's not, like, huge nerd news, but, I mean, how about we let Potter lead us? What do you want to start with, Mr. Potter?
Well, we can run through a couple things that you guys haven't seen real quick that
well, I
want
to ask you one
seen.
Thing because you just added to this. What's this Constantine Season 2 Fall 2017 release? That show's canceled.
Yes. Okay. So, no. Well,
I know. Explain
canceled.
Yourself.
Explain myself. I will.
I didn't care when it existed. Why do I care now that it doesn't?
It was actually, okay, so it was an underrated show.
Well, I saw the first episode and I really liked it. And I like the guy who plays.
Yeah, he's great. He is
Keanu Reeves.
No,
but I love that movie though.
No, he is probably the truest representation of the two we've had. I mean, the Keanu Reeves movie was fun. It was fine. It was fun. It was what it was. But the show was really building on something great.
Yeah.
And then NBC decided that okay, well, the ratings are poor. It's underperforming. We got to cancel it. Okay, I get that from a business standpoint.
What was it on? NBC?
It was on NBC, yeah. So from a business standpoint, I understand that decision. You have to let go of the dead weight, so to speak.
Yeah.
But now that the CW has gotten so much traction and momentum, They have added Constantine to some episodes of Arrow.
Yeah, I liked him. He was great on Arrow.
Yeah, and he's going to be on, supposedly going to be on Legends of Tomorrow eventually, like coming up, I think, this season.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was still a show.
Right?
Yeah.
I need to catch up on that. It's still there. So then there's also
the weakest
now,
of the four.
It is, I would agree.
But it's still good. It's still fun.
It is. Now there is a rumor floating around that because of them using the character in those shows, that might be breathing new life into a potential season two of Constantine on the CW.
Plus, the thing was, wasn't the show originally on Fridays?
It may have been. And it's a such a tricky time slot, but CW...
No, but I was going to say, is if they do that, then they have a comic book show Monday through Friday.
Yes, and they're planning to bill it and package it with all of their other Supernatural shows, so it'll be there with Supernatural and...
iZombie,
Vampire Diaries, all of that stuff. And actually, I think it's going to be the replacement for Vampire Diaries, because that show is in its last season, or will be by the time...
Wait,
Constantine's ready there.
Wait, which one's the last season?
Vampire Diaries. Yeah, I think it's done after season 8. Holy crap! The Giants.
Giants is in a 3-run Jack in the 9th!
Sorry.
There we go.
It's an even year. What can we say?
Every other year since I have worked on Pretty Little Liars, the Giants have won the World Series.
Right.
And I have watched some of the playoffs in RJ's office. When I went to get batteries to charge this, to keep this going, I stopped for a moment and watched a couple pitches in RJ's office, and I'm like, okay,
that's
now I can.
Dude, I remember.
Now I can look you.
You were there when they won one of them, too, I remember.
Yes, I was.
Sorry, Mr. Potter.
No, that's all right. That's exciting.
I wish I could say I'm just as excited about Constantine.
No,
about
that's
this
fine.
3-run
it's
home
fine.
Run.
No, but the only downside is I believe the Giants are going to be playing RJ's.
Hold on. We haven't won yet,
if
though.
They win.
Our bullpen's still got to hold a fucking lead, which they're not good at, so yeah.
Well, Matt Bum can just come out one more time.
Hopefully he's still pitching. Hopefully. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It does. Now you know it when does. We're recording this podcast.
Yes, exactly. that does excite me because I do like Constantine. Like, I like that world, that supernatural
world. Yeah, it's cool.
Underworld of DC. Like, I was really disappointed that they canceled, or not canceled, Dark Justice League?
Justice League Dark.
Justice League
I was
Dark,
just
yeah.
sad that they that Guillermo del Toro's still, not involved.
Yeah.
It is still, but Guillermo del Toro, I wish he was more involved because.
Oh,
because
it's Doug Liman now, which is like, he's cool, but like. The guy that made Swingers is not the guy you picture for
a
Swamp
Thing. Doug Liman's cool because he's kind of a chameleon.
Didn't he do Born?
He did Edge, and he did Edge of Tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
Doug Liman's a good director.
Do action, but
you don't pick Doug Liman to do Swingers.
Right.
Is what I would say.
Yeah. That was his first, wasn't it?
He also did DOC.
And he did Go.
I just mean, like, you don't picture him for, like, dark supernatural.
No, you don't. And Guillermo del Toro is perfect for it. So,
yeah.
But I guarantee you Guillermo del Toro's version was $200 million. And they're like, no, our movies aren't succeeding enough. We need to make this for, like, $50 million.
Can I make a transition speaking of dark stuff?
Yes.
How surprisingly dark was that new Pirates trailer?
Yes.
Ooh, I agree with you.
It was good.
Oops. It's okay.
Oh, you didn't watch it yet.
I didn't watch it.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
No, that's all right.
You're the traditional comic relief in Pirates now. No, and it's good to see Javier Bardem being like, I had such a fun time playing that guy in Skyfall that I'm just going to do it again, but with half a face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be a ghost, apparently.
Right,
a ghostly pirate of some kind.
I am excited about this movie because like...
Me too.
I like the Pirates movies. Like, the second one is a little bit much, but I think I realized... The reason I don't like the second one so much, because it's not like the third and fourth aren't fucking convoluted as fuck.
The third one's, like, atrocious.
It is, but I like the third one better, because you know why? I realized Barbosa is my favorite character in that movie.
Oh, yeah,
movies.
Barbosa
I like
is
Jack
fantastic.
Sparrow, but at the, end of two, when they say, we need to find somebody who's already been to the other side, or whatever,
right.
And then you see his boots walk down the stairs, I'm getting goosebumps now, I knew that was him.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
so excited, and then he had the apple in his hand, the monkey on his shoulder, because the first one was magic, and then the other three are just like. Eh.
Well, the fourth one has such a terrible reputation, but I thought it was like a fun disposable adventure movie.
I agree.
It was. It's like the way
you
feel about Star Trek Beyond. It's kind of like that. It's like doesn't have any consequence to the series.
Right. Right.
And the love story they had in there with that mermaid and the
priest. That was weak.
That was like they were just trying to. They were basically got the second hand.
But the set pieces were fun.
They were. And they were. And Jack Sparrow was still awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. And Disney made a strange, calculated decision in not showing Jack Sparrow in the teaser for a.
How interesting Irish was that? Movie.
Yeah, it was
probably because he just got being sued for spousal abuse, and Alice in Wonderland 2 opened to $1.50.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
literally not $150 million.
Yeah,
literally $1.50,
which was Dan's $1.50.
Yeah, exactly. Which that movie sucked. Still. Still the worst movie I've seen this year. It's still on the bottom of my list.
That's
so. But we still got a few more months to see if something else comes out that's even more terrible, but I can't imagine anything being. but speaking of releases, I was going to ask you guys this cuz I know what October release I'm most excited about, but what October release are you guys? Is there anything that you've been seeing lately?
I know there's some stuff on the
Accountant. Yeah, I'm excited about The Accountant.
That's the one I'm looking forward to.
That's my October.
I know there's a few other.
I agree. Videos. I love movies about numbers.
Right? How can you not?
They made a whole TV show about it, too. That's like 6 years.
I didn't watch that number or that movie. The show.
Words. David Krumholtz.
Yes.
Speaking of David Krumholtz, I just watched. You guys need to
watch. What a weird transition.
It was, but you guys need to watch.
Segway.
You guys need to watch this trailer on. There's just a. Two Australian dudes that do this like
porno.
No, it's like it's like a how thank God this didn't get made type thing. Oh. There was a Justice League pilot in the 90s. It is so fucking bad. Like if this thing would have gone as a pilot in the 60s, it would have been laughed at. It's so fucking bad. The Green Lantern wears a blue suit.
What the shit?
The only thing cool in it is Martian Manhunter, and he's not even cool at all. But you guys, please go watch this. There's about 15 minutes of it online.
Yes.
It makes the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie look like fucking Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, it's so fucking bad.
That's saying something
But it's but although some would argue it's probably better than BVS. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. so what else we got, Blair?
How about?
That's my mood just changed after that home run.
We just totally got off track there.
We did.
Luke Cage.
I've only seen the first episode.
That's fine. We can
because
talk about the first
because
episode.
I know I'm going to binge it.
Right.
So like I just have to wait. So I'm going to be sitting on my couch for like 5 or 6 hours and watch like half the season.
Well, how about this?
So no, we can talk about
we
it.
Don't ruin it or anything. Because I'm into almost finished with episode 3 now. What did you think of episode 1, Josh?
You are correct. Bumgarner's still pitching.
I liked it.
Mad Bum.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I especially with a Netflix show, I feel like the other show we'll talk about in a minute, you can judge more on its pilot just because of how.
Because they actually made a pilot?
Right, exactly. Because of how they're
instead
meant
of going
to be
straight to series
consumed.
Like Netflix does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hesitate to judge the meal based on the side of carrots, but...
That's fair. No, that's fair. Do you...
But how were the carrots?
Yes.
They're good carrots. Raphael Sadiq sang in them? That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great for Luke Cage so far.
What's the carrots? Sorry, I got distracted for a second.
No, I was just saying, like, I'm not ready to give an opinion on Luke Cage. Just because, especially the way Netflix series... work.
Damn, I don't want to miss analogies by Moorhead. That's why. I'll listen to it later. You don't have to repeat yourself.
Yeah.
But what I just heard you say something about Raphael Sadiq, though.
He's in the first episode.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For any people who don't know that, that's the lead singer of Tony, Tony, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Raphael Sadiq.
Tony, 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 Tony?
Tony?
Oh my god, that's hilarious that you brought that up too.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Raphael Sadiq is.
I started listening to him like 6 years ago or something. I was like, who's this new cool dude
really?
On the scene?
Yeah, he's the one who sings fucking Never Rains in Southern California. that anniversary song that's fucking awesome.
Wow, I feel dumb. But that's one good element of the show that I know they keep up is that like they use it as a showcase to show these like awesome.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Charles Bradley. Somebody told me he's in the third episode.
It's a very jazzy, bluesy soul soundtrack, and it fits perfectly. I mean, it, some people might see that as being a little on the head as far as the makeup of the show, but it's perfect. It fits thematically. I love it. It's kind of. More so than Luke Cage, and this doesn't ruin anything. It's not a every episode he punches the shit out of people kind of thing. Like Daredevil kind of became here and there. And I know you have to have some of that because that's what people are wanting to see.
The formula just got a little too predictable or redundant in Daredevil, even if the fights were really cool.
No, yeah, like, the fights were great. That second season fight where it's that continuous thing down the stairs and stuff. Awesome, man.
Because they had to top the hallway scene from the first one.
Yeah.
But
they're going to do that every season. They're going to try to up it.
Not to be redundant, but basically Luke Cage is a Black Noir. You know?
No, it is. And I like, because I was going to mention the other writer's assistant on Famous in Love with me, Garrett, he was asking me about it because he knows how much I like comic book movies, and he likes the show a lot. And he was telling me the way it's done, it's a great representation of Black entertainment because it's not like a white person writing a Black person's experience. Like the whole thing
right.
is... Like almost every actor in it is Black.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like they're trying to be Blaxploitation. It's just
No.
Feels real.
It feels very real. It's very topical and culturally poignant.
Yeah.
Especially right now with the economic landscape we're in. It has a detective vibe to it. It's more of a detective show than even Jessica Jones is. And I know she's supposed to be a
detective. Yeah, Jessica Jones was like a... It's interesting how those two pair off and, like, how those series work. Like, Jessica Jones is, like, the feminist noir.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And this is the...
Black noir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's cool. It's slick.
So then what's Daredevil?
Daredevil's just noir. Daredevil.
Yeah.
White noir.
Daredevil's red noir. Punching, kicking.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Punching, kicking.
Seventh Heaven is.
I don't
like
know.
Black
I was just noir. Giving you guys an opportunity for a joke about something like a blind noir.
No.
Good call. That would have been you should
a
just
leather
that
noir.
Joke.
I tried.
So, I was talking to Garrett about it, and he was mentioning that, and you were mentioning the social aspect. Comic book shows can do now what like Trek did in the 60s, where they can touch on these stories. Without being controversial, but opening young people's eyes to what's really going on. Like, I guarantee you, all those people that watched Star Trek when they were kids that didn't realize that they were getting social lessons realize it now.
Well, it's very true, because, like, at least where I grew up, you know, I feel like the only reason I'm as socially aware and liberal as I am now is because... of all the entertainment I consumed, because it taught you the lessons of equality and, like, diversity and stuff, even if you weren't experiencing it firsthand in your Mennonite neighborhood.
Well, were you,
see you this weekend!
I was going to ask you, were you on the other side of the coin before you, like, maybe got to high school or college? Like, as far as conservative and social?
Yeah. Before the end of college, I was still... I voted for Bush in 2004. That was the first election I could vote in. You're welcome, America.
Hey, I would take Bush for another 12 fucking years over the guy they got now.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think anybody would if you're going to vote Republican.
I love how, we're not going to get too political here, but I love how Reagan's son has come out and blasted the shit out of him. Stop fucking using my dad's name, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
But, you know, the important thing is both Reagan's sons have.
Oh, both? Nice.
Because
one of them is an uber liberal.
Yeah, Ron Reagan Jr. is
great.
Who I almost yelled at in college for betraying his father's name, which thank God I did.
Judge. Probably.
Old Judge sucks.
All right, let's move on from the politics.
Yeah, so watch Luke Cage. Give it a try.
No,
We can give our full reviews later, but so far, good.
I guarantee you this weekend I will find time to get through at least half of them. So, no, I'm excited because Luke Cage... I love that comic book character. I hope, and somebody told me, smiled when I just mentioned this, so obviously something happens. I hope they somehow get him in that 70s garb where he's with the headband and the tank top half shirt that's yellow.
I heard it happens.
Yeah, I heard it happens too. Yeah. And I heard the way it happens is pretty clever.
And so I heard he says sweet Christmas, which I didn't realize was his catchphrase.
I didn't know that was his catchphrase.
That's a pretty specific catchphrase.
That's a lot more difficult than did I do that or...
Because I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
All right, Urkel. I'm bringing it back.
Bringing it back. Oh my God, Julia White should have played Luke Cage. Just kidding.
If he went through that machine that made him Stefan.
Yeah.
Hell. Fuck Stefan, dude. It was all about Steve Urkel. Fuck Stefan.
That's the Family Matters pod.
Exactly. We'll do that another time. But I guess we could stick with TV, though. Has everybody had a chance to see Westworld?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you guys
think? We're
going to
be chewing on that for a long time.
I was very happy with it. Very, very happy. I haven't watched the original in a very long time. Uh-oh, something else happened in the world of baseball.
They won.
The Giants world
won.
Of sports.
Woo!
Nice. There you go.
We're coming for you, Cubs.
The real Westworld.
Giants.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, back to Westworld. Yes.
I haven't watched the original, but this seems pretty cool, and the way they're setting it up. I don't know how it compares to the old Yul Brynner classic, but...
I don't think it matters, really.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't, but I know there will be purists out there that'll
West,
be like, no,
well,
it's
that's
way
what I'm saying.
Better
is,
than this and that.
Was Westworld... Was Westworld
yeah.
That, this one,
I don't even...
Is Westworld really that revered?
No.
It is admired.
It is, yes.
By, like,
for,
the 10 people that...
It's like, I mean, yes. It's Crichton. It's sort of earlier Crichton
yeah.
who wrote the movie.
Yeah. Well, it's the first theme park that breaks
got,
down thing that
yeah,
he wrote.
It's got big
Jurassic
ideas,
park.
And it's got a lot of things that inspired a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, in the canon of sci-fi film.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Because I told my friends who were asking, what is Westworld? And then I mentioned, I was like, well, it was a 70s movie written and directed by Michael Crichton.
In,
if I remember correctly, right?
In 6 months to a year... It will only be the series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll make people forget the word Battlestar Galactica. Made people forget there was an original cheeseball 70s
right.
Oh,
right.
God. And it's so bad.
And it that bad. 70s cheeseball show had a much larger cultural impact
it
than
did.
Westworld did.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true. That's
yes.
very true.
Yes.
So, Westworld is not really, like, it's it, amongst, like, sci-fi purists and, like, it's probably up there.
I feel like Westworld only... was of note at all because Michael Crichton became Michael Crichton.
Yes.
So
I
when,
would agree with
when
that.
You're us in the 90s reading his books and you're like, what's Westworld?
Right.
But
you didn't
even care enough to go seek it out
no,
and watch.
I didn't.
Absolutely.
That
so,
was 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading Michael Crichton in like fourth, fifth, sixth
right.
grade.
Yeah.
I read Jurassic Park and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What's this Westworld thing? And I never went
right.
and like,
never bothered.
Never bothered.
Yeah.
Now, maybe
well,
I would
Jurassic
have if
Park
it was today
better.
Because... Like, there's the internet.
Right.
And, like, when I was in sixth grade, there was sort of...
But
there
that's
was
the
an
thing.
Internet.
That,
there was an internet, but it wasn't the internet.
Yeah. Well, it was so, like, of not of note
yeah.
that you couldn't even go get it from the library if,
yeah.
you, were, if you became that curious
yeah.
or the video store.
Yeah.
Yeah. I well, that's the thing is, like, I will admit, though, it's sitting in my Amazon shopping cart, which is usually full of... everything. I have so many things in my Amazon cart, and eventually I just buy them one by one, but that's in there, so I do eventually want to watch it, but it's just,
yeah.
it's, but I'm not, like, in a rush. Like,
right.
I didn't need to see it before
yeah,
I saw the series.
You don't need to be, yeah, no, I don't think anybody needs to see it before they see the series.
Now, let's get to the series.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, yeah.
So just quick, who liked it?
I liked it.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who loved it?
I didn't love it.
I didn't love it in the moment, but as the days wear on, it's growing on me, which
yes.
I think is the best thing.
I think
say.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's I really liked it. It's interesting because there's no like, the only characters that are actual characters are, really, it's Ed Harris,
uh-huh.
and then everybody who works for the company.
And Ed Harris is a human, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't get that wrong.
I mean, that's the implication, unless he's like. The first robot that became sentient, but it sounds very much like he's a human.
Yeah,
robot.
He does say,
and
I've been coming here for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he,
which,
he,
I mean, could be programmed, but there's definitely, like, there's the game of, and this is what I appreciate about, there's a lot of things, like, technically and logistically that I love
yeah,
about
there,
pilots.
Yeah.
Because there's the game of Westworld, you know, where you go in and you live
right.
the thing, and it's basically just a giant fucking LARP.
But then there's
right.
whatever world.
And then there's that meta game that Ed Harris is playing.
Right.
Yes.
What's the deeper meaning?
Yeah, like when he scalps him and he's got the thing in there and who knows what he's going to find.
The
go ahead.
Oh, the pilot was much more effective world building than
yes.
character meaning. Like there's some
yeah.
pilots that get you in because of character and there's others that get you because of concept and sometimes there's a balance but
yeah.
this was much more concept than character I
yes yes well and I loved the way that the first sort of it was almost two acts the
yeah.
pilot there
yeah.
was the first half was like this is the way
the park runs sort of somewhat undisturbed, you know, where she runs into him, they do their stuff, she goes home to her paw, and they're being, you know, attacked.
Right.
You know, so you sort of see what her and his, Evan Rachel Wood and James Marsden, what their...
Oh, that's who that
day
was.
Yes, is.
Yes, James Marsden. Yeah. Cyclops.
What their day is without any...
Evan Rachel Wood, that's the one.
Oh,
Evan Rachel Wood. Yes. Keep going.
Without any intervention, without any sort of customer intervention.
Right.
Good down point. To, what's her face, Tandy Newton saying the thing to him like, well, you're paying for it no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
Here, we just post the price on the door. Then you get to the second round, and you get to the next day in the park, and you see how immediately, like, his starts the same, but you hear the woman behind him saying a different thing, and you understand, like, he's living this loop.
Right.
But then when he gets to the bar, Tandy Newton's not talking to him anymore because she's talking to the Asian tourists.
Right.
And then he doesn't go outside because something happens, and then it's Ed Harris who meets her. And then she goes off and does painting. Well, so you see the way that things can change very quickly after knowing the thing.
And that was a neat, like, they didn't lean too heavily on it, but that was a neat twist where, like, when you first see him, just because he's coming into town on a train, you're like, oh, so this is my first character that's a guest in the park.
Yeah, yeah, they did a really good job.
Oh, shit, he's not.
Or if he's a robot, you're not going to find, like, you're going to find out nine episodes down the line. Like, as far as you can tell, he's your main character.
I hope they don't. Poor pun, but like beat a dead horse with it. But like, it's going to be a very effective tool for them to use when introducing new characters.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out
who's who.
You're right.
Yeah. Like, I'd be okay if the second episode is like, we start off, like, the first half is all the machinations and stuff going on at the headquarters.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that first half is us seeing, like, Tandy Newton's character on her normal day.
Yeah.
And then an interrupted day as the park continues to devolve.
What's really interesting is I want to know, so you meet the writer who's talking about, like, the grander narratives and stuff, but it seems like, so Evan Rachel Wood is on a one-day loop, but I wonder if some of the others are on, like, a two-year loop. You know, like, what are the loops?
Right.
There's so much to discover.
I think, well, one of the things, there's a lot of variation.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the things they talk about is moving up. What's his face? Who's up in the hills?
By a week, yeah.
Moving up his invading of the town by a week.
Right.
So it seems like, you're right, it seems like there are different loops.
Yeah.
And they have different... The thing that was interesting to me is that they rotated robots playing characters. Like, they rotated roles.
That was really fascinating.
Yes.
You know, like, he played the professor and then he was the chief.
Right.
But they wrote... The thing that was fascinating about that to me is because they plant that earlier in a subtle way... Where he says to her, like, back when I was chief.
Yeah.
Or sheriff.
Oh, right.
Not chief, sheriff.
Yeah.
And then you find out that in his character's past he was sheriff. It's such a subtle thing.
It's very
that
subtle.
Either that means they wrote that into the dad's backstory, or
he's actually
he's remembering it.
Yeah.
Which, and I think it's the latter. And I think it's a nice little sort of setup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is the latter.
Within the pilot.
Potter, since you're our Western enthusiast, what did you think of the whole mise-en-scene?
mise-en-scene?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that this this shows a very gritty side of things, which is cool. I mean, it's not all fluff. Yes, and I liked the line. I don't remember which character said it, but there's a bit of dialogue that one character has. It's basically like, oh, yeah, they'll live out this cool fluff life kind of thing, like do this and that. They can shoot a guy or they can discover this or go have sex with, you know, one of Tandy Newton's girls.
Yeah.
Like, whatever they want to do. But you also get that gritty side of things. I mean, when the bandits come into town at the end of the episode...
Yeah.
Some of the guests freak. They freak out, even though they know that that's a scripted thing. It's not going to hurt them. They can't get hurt, but they still freak out about it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of changing roles and stuff, I was wondering, and this might be something I'm just reading too much into, but the bandits, the second in command is that girl with the rifle who's really badass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, when the customer or whatever, the guest shoots them both, mm-hmm. he refers to her as a man. Like he said, you see him or something. And then but then the wife refers to her as a her.
Well, no, he was talking about Rodrigo Santoro.
No, I thought he was too at first. No, he did. He said that. But then he said something, and he said, look at him twitch, talking about the... Or did the girl say that? Look at her.
No,
twitch.
She said, yeah, the girl said, look
but,
at her twitch.
But he's...
The
girl said it. I have to watch it again. Maybe I missed it then. I swear to God he said something... Because the girl looked androgynous to me. Like, she looked like she could have been like... I mean, I knew it was a girl... But I'm wondering
that she could like play other gender
roles.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if that's something that
possible.
That would be possible.
I mean, like that would be, if they wanted to go that topical, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just the sense like because
you're not using my bathroom.
So here's the question: we all agree that Anthony Hopkins is not making it through.
Yeah, that's my.
And it's probably mostly the reason he agreed to do it is like, yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah.
Right. He's Sean Bean of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I had said, I think, was to Josh. Maybe Sean I said it to all of you. I don't know. If that character is sticking around, he's played by Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
Instead of Anthony Hopkins.
But I think...
I like Anthony Hopkins.
I can't
so
wait
much,
for
though.
Jeffrey Wright to be the lead of the show.
Yeah.
That dude's like,
No, I will keep defending these robots because remember that picture I held of my son in the first episode because he died and now I can rebuild him?
Yeah.
When they go that whole AI route.
I love how you mentioned him, too, because I think that even though it's not... Even though his performance was really subtle in this first one, which is great.
Oh, he's so good.
I think that dude's going to get nominated for an Emmy for the show.
Like,
I can already tell, like, he's going to knock it out
of the park. Of the PLL writers, Brian, eloquently said on Facebook that he would watch Jeffrey Wright read a Thai takeout menu and be captivated.
Dude, Jeffrey Wright is... Yeah. Jeffrey Wright... This is the thing about Jeffrey Wright. The Hunger Games movies aren't really known for their acting. Well, I mean, there's some performances that are pretty decent. Like
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
He was maybe my favorite part of the Hunger Games movies
Elizabeth Banks is good.
I saw like three of them.
Woody Harrelson's good. But Jeffrey Wright, when he's in there with all those kids on the thing, he just makes them all look so
amateur. Like he's actually living in that world.
Yes.
I mean, the girl who plays his sister does a pretty good job, too, but he's just so far... He's an elite. He's an elite actor.
And he's really fun and good as Felix when he gets to be Felix in the Bond movies,
too. I agree.
Yes.
And he was the bad guy in Shaft, for crying out loud.
Oh, he was? Time to rewatch Shaft.
In the remake?
Yeah. I thought Christian Bale was.
No, Christian Bale was the... Well, Christian Bale was kind of the bad guy. Well, I take
Christian
that back.
Bale was the white guy.
Yeah. Christian Bale was the main bad guy. I take that back. Jeffrey Wright was the criminal that Shaft kind of teams up with... But they're still it's an uneasy alliance.
Yeah. So one praise and one not complaint but question. The only thing that kept nagging at me in the pilot that didn't feel like a story nagging. One, it's really interesting how after I was complaining last week about how Magnificent Seven's violence was senseless and overkill, and then you basically get the same scene in Westworld, but I was totally engrossed and thought it was really cool. That's just an exercise in tone and execution and whatever.
And point, because that's part of
exactly.
the commentary.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Right.
By the way, just real quick, sorry. The character's name in Shaft, Jeffrey Wright plays, is Peoples Hernandez.
Oh, Peoples.
Because he's all about his peoples.
That's right.
I remember he has that line. Sorry.
Oh,
anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
Black Dynamite, I sell drugs in the community.
My other question was... Okay, so the only thing in the pilot that didn't make any sense to me, and I don't know how they explain it, is that these characters who don't know that they're robots are always within earshot of somebody going,
"That's what I
you was
thinking!
You fucking robot, let's go into a canyon and I'll blow your brains
out. Oh my God, Josh, you must have read my mind, because when you guys were talking about the train, I was going to ask
can't
you guys
reconcile.
About
because that. I don't understand.
Because the
train
girls say, he looks so real.
The train I kind of gave into, because I'm like, oh, they're whispering. But in the other
he's
scenes,
sitting
they're
right
sitting
there.
Here.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Still.
Like, I was trying to give it to them.
Yeah. It's such a simple solution. Because, not solution to solve it, but I mean a solution why it's not actually an issue.
Yeah.
Is because if you are programming something, and you're programming something to respond to things and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can literally program them so that when they
to
hear the word robot, they hear that guy. Or they don't hear the word robot.
Oh, I see.
You know
but,
what I mean? Like,
but the
they
problem,
just wouldn't necessarily process that.
Yes.
Or they would hear it as something different.
But the problem
or it
is,
means
like,
something different.
I mean, that's how I phrased it, but in the show, they're actually just saying, like, they walk up to him and they're like, last time I was in town, he showed me all around the place. And, like, and he's
and he
what?
Just looks confused.
Right. But I mean, like, later on when they're like, I don't know. Like, it'll just take some explaining.
Where they talk about killing
him? Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's a thing that he doesn't hear. He doesn't process.
Yes, you can
that.
Program it, but yeah, like, he's programmed it just to not means like such a breadth of like you'd have to cover so many bases. But I guess that's what
well,
they do.
What it is. It's probably a one. There's probably a lack of self preservation. So the idea of somebody killing them isn't necessarily
they don't
a
freak
problem.
Out like we would. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the character.
Right.
You know, I imagine. Depending on the role. And I don't remember the other thing I was going to say.
Good point.
I like that convincing. Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you brought that up because I was
thinking that was the only thing I couldn't like totally wrap my head around. And the way they kind of stylistically got around on it is in that scene where they're talking very explicitly about him and about how he's not a real thing. That's when he looks just dazed and the fly crawls across his face. So to your point, maybe he like maybe they are programmed to kind of like unconsciously turn off at points.
Yeah.
And it may be that they're not actively interacting with him. You know, they're like wait out here and so of course they're wait out there unless
the one thing
it's inertia.
That I read this week that's interesting is that all the robots are programmed, this is the showrunners. All the robots are programmed to intervene in situations where a guest might be in danger.
Yeah.
So whether a guest is about to be shot like by another guest or like is about to careen off of a cliff or something, they're programmed to divert whatever their story is or to subtly change the narrative that guest is engaging in to keep them out of danger.
Interesting.
So if the guest is like, let's go out into the canyon or whatever, they would be like, actually, I forgot the things over here.
Yeah,
if there was like some bad thing about.
Well, I mean, because they're not shooting real guns because then a guest could kill a guest. So they are.
Well, the other thing I read is that the guests do have what is essentially a real gun, and the robots have basically. And I didn't realize cops use this these days, and like the army does in like training.
Yeah.
A gun that doesn't shoot like a BB, but like it's not somewhere between a blank and a real bullet, so that when you get contact, you feel like a zap.
Yeah.
You feel like the shock of what it would be like to have impact.
Which is probably
happening to Ed Harris.
Yeah. Because he's supposed to be. That's where I figured he was human, but at the same time, I thought to myself, well, maybe he's also gone beyond that programming, like you were saying. Like, like that he's the first. And I kind of hope that's what he is. I hope he's the leader of the
robots. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Because Ed Harris, that character is dark as fuck.
So
like,
dark.
I couldn't believe, like, I mean, obviously they don't show it, which I'm glad
bleeding
they
didn't. Bleeding out that fucker?
Yeah. And he was obviously rapes that girl every time he comes.
Right.
Like, it's just like, because he's like, I want you to fight. Isn't that what she
says to her? He's like, that's why I pay for it.
Yeah. So it's I'm very excited for the show. I think it's going to be, I think it's a fun placeholder for Game of Thrones, although unfortunately it's only going to be on until like February or something. So we're still going to have a long, long time to wait for
it. HBO's trying to play it down, but obviously what they want is for it to not be placeholder, but inheritor.
So that in two years,
when Thrones goes away, Westworld's at the peak of its popularity, so it can just slide into that.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
That's a smart
thing
to do.
And I think it could get there because there's enough positive internet chatter about it, as opposed to something like Preacher that was on AMC, which they were kind of hoping would be another Walking Dead for them, which is something we should have loved and been talking about just based on its genre and everything.
I didn't watch it, but
that's
every intention.
Nobody
has. Because I've actually heard really good things about it.
But I just mean that it didn't become... It didn't become a part of the conversation like Westworld already is and has.
Yeah. Although Preacher did get renewed, though, right? I think it did.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well. Anyway. Funny thing to mention Game of Thrones, too, because an article came out recently that HBO definitely wants a spinoff show. George R. R. Martin he's not against it.
Robert's Rebellion.
The showrunners wouldn't do it.
Probably want a break.
But, and that's
you
smart.
Have one,
too, because there's no way that Game of Thrones spinoff, even if it's really good, will ever live up to its predecessor.
What if it's Game of Thrones: The Next Generation?
Deep Space Throne.
Deep Space Thrones. I like that.
So anyway, do we have any more thoughts on Westworld, or should we move on to the next subject?
I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Yes.
Me too. But one more
places to go.
I'm glad that we do have a show that we will be able to talk about every pod, so we all have to stay current. Yeah. And this is me. I'm one of the worst defenders as far as that goes. So, but I'm not waiting for my brother on this one like Game of Thrones. So I will watch it every time before we pod. What else we got, Potter?
Well, just another quick mention before we talk about a couple other things. I think the rest is kind of fluff, honestly. Ash vs. Evil Dead season 2 has started.
I still haven't watched one. First 5 episodes of season 1. That's it.
It's
not that I don't like it.
No. It is pure camp. Absolutely pure camp. And you go in watching it expecting just to see Bruce Campbell killing deadites.
And Lucy Lawless. I do like that she's in the show.
Yeah.
I love me some Xena.
And it gets repetitive, but you know what? It's fun because Bruce Campbell is having so much fun doing it that you just don't care. So fans of the series, especially Evil Dead 2, and even 3, because this has a lot of the camp of the third with a lot of the gore of the second. Damn, this show is gory. It is really gory. And it's great. It is pure...
Is it Stars?
Yeah, it's on Stars.
It is Stars. Okay. That's the only unfortunate thing is that it's hard to get to, yeah. But right now, you can watch the first episode for free on Stars.
What about the first season?
That's what I want. The first season, I think you'd have to go other routes to do that. Or pay to have Stars, like access to Stars, because they probably have it streaming on their site. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'm definitely gonna watch that show, because I mean, Evil Dead is such a Evil Dead, especially Army of Darkness, is so much a part of my childhood, and why another one of the big reasons why I want to work in this business. Because when I found out, like, I don't know if you guys have ever read Bruce Campbell's Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. If Chins Could Kill, I think it's called.
Yeah,
Chins Could Kill, The Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. It's brilliant. And the great thing is you know that he's the only one who wrote this. I don't think there was a ghostwriter, because you can hear him speaking the entire time you're reading it.
That's hilarious.
But he goes into big, heavy detail on making of Evil Dead and how they all quit college and that's something that we all wish we would have been able to do that in college, make that movie that turns us into a career. I don't even think Sam Raimi graduated college. I'm pretty sure he didn't. Pretty sure he went right into directing. I will get to that eventually. But the other two TV shows, unless you have more for Ash and Evil Dead.
The other two
TV shows I wanted to talk about, one was Last Man on Earth. Josh, you said you haven't. But you don't really care about getting spoiled a little bit.
I wanted to catch up, but...
I won't do it. No, I won't do it.
Go there. Well, I'm...
I'll keep it.
You know what? I go ahead and spoil it.
Well, it's
because
not...
I heard that the last season ended on such a cliffhanger and that the premiere of this season was so yada yada.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not giving you a story spoil.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
This would be a cameo spoil.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So if
that's fair.
But if you don't want me to say it, I won't.
No.
Okay. So
possibly the best cameo ever.
It's up there, and it's something that this man has already done on other shows where it's kind of brilliant.
Damn it! Who is that?
The first episode premieres with January Jones from Mad Men shooting John Hamm.
That's awesome.
It was so brilliant because there was just the way it was set up, and I won't give away the what happens so you can see it, Josh. But you don't know it's John Hamm at first, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you're like, "Holy shit! January Jones just shot John Hamm," and it's fucking.
That's awesome.
It's such a wonderful bookend to their Mad Men relationship. But yeah, it doesn't give away too much of the story. But Last Man on Earth, and the reason I want to talk about it, because I think I've talked about this before, the way this show can balance tones is just so ridiculous. Like, I mean, it could be so slapstick silly and then be so serious literally the next second.
Yeah.
Like the next second.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like a jarring, like the way, like... Like Josh, you were talking about in the movie, the DC movies, how they tonally shift, you know, it's not jarring that it takes you out of it. It feels natural.
That's good.
It's difficult. Yeah. It's so difficult to do, and that's why I'm so excited for anything that Miller and Lord do.
That's like I feel like they're a branch of like the Apatow revolution, which is like Not that it hasn't been done before, like Albert Brooks did it, but just
there
that,
is
like,
no genre.
Well, yeah, or just like,
but now it's more it's more prevalent.
We can be
now.
Ridiculously yes. hilarious and do dick jokes, yeah. and then we're going to make you cry in 2 seconds.
I love how you see Albert Brooks because that is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Well, and even in the context of the show, not just scenes but acting wise, Will Forte can, so can yeah, change it fantastic. Around. Like he's so he can good. Be silly, and then those like you said, literally the next second. He can be really endearing and really sweet, and it's just yeah the tonal shift of that show is off the charts. It's ridiculous, but it works.
That's one of my favorite.
Make it work.
That's one of my favorite shows on TV.
I'm
gonna give another shout out to. I just thought of this to the new show on the Fox Sunday Night Block that it got pretty bad reviews, but I couldn't help but check it out because it is Lord and Miller.
Oh yeah,
and it just felt like up my alley. Son of Zorn is hilarious.
That's Lord and Miller?
Oh, man, yeah. I gotta
I've
watch
heard
that,
good
too.
I wanna watch it.
It's hilarious.
Wait, did you say it's not getting good reviews?
Yeah, a bunch of reviews were like, stupid-ass concept with no jokes, and the pilot...
Okay, so people who don't get it.
I guess, yeah, because the pilot was so funny. And I thought I was gonna be like, I thought part of the reason it got bad reviews was that, like...
Dan Harmon for some
reason. Was that, the pilot would be all about, like... I'm like Zorn, and I gotta leave this crazy world I live in and go back here, and like just setting up all that plot. But no, it just goes right into it immediately. Like the first, the pilot episode could have been like the fourth episode of the third season.
Gotcha.
That's really funny.
Well,
it's really
I'll
funny.
Tell you if we're talking.
And Sudeikis is like, yeah.
Oh, Sudeikis is okay.
He's the voice.
I have to see it then. Fuck. I love Sudeikis.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, SNL guys from that crew are doing really well.
Right.
Yeah.
Friggin' Brooklyn Nine-Nine is also awesome. And obviously, right. Kristen Wiig is now a movie star. So that is one hell of a crew from SNL. Good job, guys. Not to get too deep into these two shows, but my two probably favorite new shows are, and I finally saw Kyle, I think, suggested me to watch this. This Is Us.
Yeah.
Fantastic show.
Great pilot.
Holy shit.
I watched the second one.
Fantastic show.
Sorry.
And no, but that
tonight?
Dude, the second one ends on it's just as big a cliffhanger as the not cliffhanger, but the first one had that twist. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Do you want to see it?
I will, but
I'm not
going to.
No, I don't.
No,
I won't spoil
it. It's fine.
No.
I won't spoil it. No, it's better. I don't.
They're aliens.
But
what?
There's a twist at the end of the first episode, and then they top that twist with the second episode.
That's what I read. So I really need to watch the second one. Okay.
I don't know about top is the right word, but they gave us another big twist in the second episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, is this going to be the way this show is? Like, at the end of each episode, there's going to be this, like, oh, moment.
Yeah. I hope not. I hope they stop after, like, 3 episodes, because it doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Is that a cat outside? Like somebody meowing. Anyway, and the other new show I think is really good is Speechless. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but Minnie Driver and the kid with cerebral palsy. I always say that word.
Cerebral
palsy.
With Sarah Paulson?
She's pretty good. Yes, it's a fantastic show. So if you guys haven't seen
it, we'll go with it.
Speechless is a short commitment, too. It's only a half-hour sitcom, but it's no laugh track, which is it's a non-traditional sitcom. And Minnie Driver is going to probably get nominated for some awards.
She was in Goldeneye.
She was, dude. She was the Russian's girlfriend singing that.
Stand by your
stand
by your man.
Shut
so
up.
Funny. Moving
so
on.
Funny.
Yeah, that Russian who also plays Hagrid in Harry Potter,
that's
which
yeah,
can
Robbie
segue
Coltrane.
Into Harry Potter is going to be on IMAX screens. For like a week or two.
I know. Why is it a week though? I can't go every fucking day.
Because
there's
know.
Too many movies.
It should have been
a marathon.
It should have been.
There's like 9 movies.
There is. There's so many movies.
Yeah.
I.
You just got to pick like your. It's kind of cooler that way because you could be like, well, I'll go Tuesday and Thursday because those are my favorite ones.
I go for the last three.
Yeah, six is
Order
still
the,
one of my favorites.
Order the Phoenix and then the Deathly Hallows parts 1 and 2.
Order the Phoenix or.
No, we're
Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, sorry, Half-Blood Prince is
the
sixth one. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad, you're right.
I started listening in my various and sundry trips to and from San Diego last weekend.
Oh, good word choice. Nice.
I was listening to the first Harry Potter book.
Oh, that's cool.
It was great.
Who reads
it? Jim Dale.
I don't know who that is, but that's...
You'd know him. Did you watch...
Yeah, I know Jim Dale.
Did you watch Pushing Daisies?
Oh, okay.
He was the narrator on Pushing Daisies.
Yeah. Right.
That's a show that should have gone on longer.
Yes, it is.
It was so good.
I have one more piece of news I'm going to throw out before I don't know what's happening. But,
okay. No, that's fine.
Kyle was very upset about this. I also thought it was stupid. I'm really excited about the movie, though. Logan. You say, what's Logan? Exactly. That's why it's a bad fucking idea to call Wolverine 3 Logan.
But the thing is, Logan, absolutely. I know you guys say that, but the thing is, if I would have heard that, if I would have heard that title, I was like, oh, it's about Wolverine?
Yeah, I know, but yes, you're but... you.
I am me, but, you, but your argument, to your argument you. Earlier was that people are going to well, no. confuse, think it's like a new Logan.
No. That was a joke.
Okay, I hope so.
My argument
it's
is
terrible marketing.
That Joe Sixpack, who you know loved that Wolverine movie that one time.
What if they called it Old Man Logan?
Still, your average person, if you want the movie to make $30 million and be only seen by diehard comic book fans.
Right, call it Logan.
Go for it.
Call
yeah,
they're
it Logan.
Also, they're also going
call
for
it Old Man.
They're also going for an R rating, too.
Yes.
Which
exactly.
is great.
So,
I
but
love
if you want
idea.
To like get people who are just casual X-Men right. fans to come in, you don't call it Logan.
No. You can call it like Logan the Wolverine or something like that. But like you have to have Wolverine in there. That's yeah. all I'm trying to say.
Well, I agree. I mean,
the poster's cool, except that it says Logan. It's not, like, I get it. Like, he's Logan, and it's Old Man Logan, but, like, you can't, like, I'm not one to be, like,
well, would you
that
call it Wolverine?
Executive about things, but it's, I can't believe that got through with Fox.
Would you call
I can.
Would you, come on, after X-Men Apocalypse, anything can get through.
Yeah.
But that movie was called X-Men.
Yeah. No, I know, exactly. But I'm just saying that they seem to not fucking care anymore.
Right.
But
it's like releasing a movie okay. called Professor.
Okay, well, let's
you
do this.
Have to be like, oh,
and then
yeah, Professor X. Yeah.
Sir, what title would you have given it? And I'm not like saying that, you know. I just want to know, like, curious, like
I was expecting
know what
it to be
says.
Wolverine colon something.
Okay.
You know, maybe,
no,
it could have been old.
Even just Wolverine's colon.
I mean, it could have been. It could have been
Wolverine colon Logan. Is that too
sure?
Well, it's a shame X-Men Apocalypse was called X-Men Apocalypse because, well, I guess his name was Apocalypse, but it's almost more apt to have called this movie Wolverine Apocalypse because if they're adhering that closely to Old Man Logan's storyline,
yeah.
it's really intriguing because it's in a...
It's a post-apocalyptic world where the villains rule.
Yeah.
And he's like
yeah.
one of the last ones there just by virtue cruel. Of his healing power.
Yeah.
He lived through the Holocaust.
Although somehow Professor X is in this one. I don't remember him being in the comic.
I don't think
I thought they prevented the Holocaust when they went back in time.
Well,
twice.
That's...
I mean,
that's the one thing they never, yeah.
The Trump Holocaust.
Well, there was the nuclear Holocaust,
the
then there was, like, the Sentinel Holocaust.
God.
By the way, I'm trying to make No Lord Trump's Day trend as, like, the holiday that will be Wednesday, November 9th, after we're sure that he lost and the world rejoices. No Trump's Day.
Well, Russia's not going to rejoice. That's what they
want
as president.
No Trump's.
They know they can push
yeah.
that fool around.
Yep.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, that movie's going to be cool, I think, but...
I hope so. Honestly, I liked the Wolverine.
Well, yeah,
Wolverine
me too.
Wolverine's
good.
Yeah.
It was fun. I know a lot of people are like, it fell short, but...
No, we talk about that movie's way more well thought of than the first one.
I agree. Yeah. I absolutely
it's
agree.
It's not hard to do.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I mean, it's, yeah. I think it's considered one of the good X-Men movies. Like, I'm pretty
yeah.
sure it's well thought of. I don't. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would
know.
Put it
I,
on my
like
top
it.
Tier of X-Men movies.
Yeah,
yes.
I think it was one of the best. I think it's up there with X2 and Days of Future Past.
People say it betrayed Deadpool. Itself because it gave into like... more of a blockbuster thing in its last act, but when I rewatched it, I don't even know if that's true. It's just that
yeah,
gets in a cyborg suit, which
yeah, that's just,
was his whole plan. So whatever.
Yeah,
but that's
Kyle's like
it's still
yeah,
a comic book movie.
I don't care. I instantly
the samurai
this.
Stuff is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
no, it is.
And they had the silver samurai in it for crying out loud.
Yeah. It did.
Fucking
yeah.
badass.
Yeah,
and the hand is that the name of that group? No,
no, the hand
no.
is
Daredevil.
No, it's the foot.
It's Daredevil, yeah, the foot,
yeah.
the foot clan.
No, wait.
No,
are you sure?
It might
no,
be.
No, 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 it's not.
No, I know the hand is in Daredevil, but I think...
No, they're not called the foot. In...
No, I know they're called the foot.
No, oh, it's okay, not about the hand.
No, the hand is a Marvel, but the Silver Samurai and the girl in the comics are part of the hand. That's why I thought.
Maybe probably in the comics, but
yeah.
not in the feature.
The hand of the fist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that Turtles only exist because of Daredevil? Because that's where Foot comes from. It was a parody of the Hand and Daredevil comics.
Yeah, I knew that.
I did not.
And they were in like the gritty like realism that the first books were was a mockery of like the gritty realism of Frank Miller like Daredevil shit.
Hmm.
And
okay.
like Splinter, comes from Stick.
I can see that. I mean,
this is either true or a crazy fan theory.
No, it's all true. Like, okay. It's like,
remember that Kevin one Eastman time?
If you
like,
read
when,
your turtle history,
when Mace Windu was Snoke.
Moving on.
It's not like that. Anyway,
it's not that.
What else we got?
Okay. Really, we could talk about the extended cut of Suicide Squad that was announced.
Let's not. Or,
why would we?
Or we
no, we're going to. Fuck that.
It.
Fuck that, because finally, once I have another complaint, I have a complaint about Suicide Squad. You
what?
Good.
Plus, why are we going to break the streak? We've talked about Suicide Squad pretty much every... Kyle pointed it out last week. And unfortunately, we're going to talk about it again when it comes out on Blu-ray. Now, right. Okay.
Right. What's your complaint?
My complaint is...
What's the story?
Yeah, give the story. Sorry.
I don't have the story. You're the one that put it on there, Dan. What's the story?
I didn't.
No, okay, I put
Kyle,
it on
there's
on
an
it.
Extended cut.
There's an extended
you put
cut.
It on there, and you didn't even want to talk.
You didn't come prepared?
There's the extended cut, and they're adding... I didn't know the number. I think Dan told me the number. They're adding 13 minutes of footage.
13 whole minutes.
Well,
huh?
which is 40 minutes too many.
Yep.
That's a funny joke, Kyle.
That is a funny joke.
Math jokes.
Well, here's the thing. Do we honestly think in 13 extra minutes they can clear up the massive, gaping, prolapsed anus of plot holes?
It's all going to be the Joker jerking off onto various foodstuffs and then making Harley Quinn eat it.
Okay.
If all 13 minutes is just more Joker stuff, then I will be very excited. If it's 13 extra minutes and only 3 minutes is Joker stuff, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Because I still don't think we're getting David Ayer's fucking movie. No. And I'm sick of him towing the company line saying, that's my cut in the theaters. No, it's not, David
Ayer. You know
Ayer.
Why he's doing that? Because
no, it's not.
Because he wants to work again.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I was going to say, not
he
only
does,
just...
He doesn't
want to
get tranked.
Right. Not just that he does want to work again, but that Fair I'm enough. Sure he has some project in his back pocket that he's halfway through developing with Warner Brothers. It's like his passion thing.
Yeah.
And if he just keeps saying... That's my cut.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Just
no,
keep
fair
swimming.
Enough. I mean...
But
I,
here's what I'm telling you.
Sorry, go ahead.
That the extended cut is just 12 minutes and 15 seconds of Slipknot and then 30 seconds of Joker laughing at you.
That'd actually be pretty funny. Big fuck you.
Now,
but,
there was a trailer. I didn't watch it, but there's some...
There's definitely an extra
shot
scene
of Harley.
Yeah, she's a
a normal human.
As Harley... Harleen Quinzel.
Yeah, that's
And then,
it.
Yeah, the Joker, like, stops dead in his tracks. He's like, ooh... I want to do this chick. But
really?
If the Joker's in it. Because the thing that they talk
Wait,
about...
is that actually in the trailer?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Not at all. But the look on his eyes... Look on his
I'm
eyes
even
are
more
like,
out.
No, the look on his eyes is like intrigue because she's like... this is obviously after he probably tortured her. And then she's out there like saying, hey, you're not done with me. And he's like, wow, that's kind of intriguing. This chick wants some more torture. Which to the Joker, obviously.
Which is what you said when you went back to
Wait, Kyle, right? Not me.
I didn't go back to see Suicide Squad.
Well, it's not me, because it wasn't torture for me, because I love that movie. So
if you waterboard me once, I stay away
from I was complaining balls. Because I was complaining, and this is a very selfish complaint of mine, and this would make the movie 70, whatever Kyle said, whatever joke Kyle made about the extra minutes. I wanted it to be 30 extra minutes, just like BVS, just because I want... More Joker, and if that's what I'm getting, then I want.
I probably
more.
Would have liked it more if it was a half hour longer, honestly, because assuming some of that half hour would have been more plot or structure.
Well, assuming it's not more music videos,
right?
I'm not
assuming it's load bearing, like
yeah.
And I'll tell you this, Josh. When I first saw it, I didn't feel it as much as the second time I saw it, and third and fourth. But the fact that the movie does completely shift in the second half, like we're watching two different movies. Like that first half is that trailer. The music video stuff, and then the second half is David Ayer stuff, which is actually kind of boring, some of it. But
yeah, and it takes itself too seriously.
So, but I guess maybe I'm just really fascinated by the Joker in general because I love all of his incarnations, including this one. And I liked that this one was like a sexy Joker, like not that like you need a sexy Joker, but it's just it was different in that sense because
it was punk rock.
No matter what you can do, no matter what you do to Jared Leto, the dude is still a beautiful man. So it's just kind of insane. Like,
I have this theory that the Suicide Squad Joker did not actually fall into a vat of acid. It was actually a vat of Mountain Dew.
But Baja Blast.
Yeah, Baja Blast.
Well, I also want to know.
It was a mixture of Baja Blast and Code Red.
I hope the extra scenes
maybe a little Live Wire.
Yeah. I hope the extra scenes include
'90s.
What happens to Ike Barinholtz's character, the security guard.
No, he can come back. He's the only
good part. Wow, will you go see Suicide Squad too?
I mean,
for the sake of potting, yeah.
For the sake of potting, yes. So that I can be the guy who's like, wow, that sucked.
Yeah. If you gave a DJ $200 million and a handful of ecstasy and told him to make a movie, it would make Suicide Squad. Because that's all it is. It's like 2 minutes of something, you're like, yeah. And then he drops the bass and plays 2 minutes of something else, and you're like, okay. And it works at a club where you're on ecstasy, but that's not how movies work.
No, but I don't know.
So what you're saying is, we need to all drop some X and watch the movie.
Right.
Oh, and and I don't know if we've... did we mention this last week? They officially have the title for Ben Affleck's movie.
Batfleck.
It's the Batman. It's the Batman.
It's not just called Bruce. Bruce.
Yes, it's the story of Bruce Batman, attorney at law.
Although, if they were to call the movie Bruce Wayne, though, do you think like that... I mean, Logan's not as recognizable.
Batman v. Spiderman.
No, I heard the title was called Martha.
Shut up, Potter. Don't remind these guys that.
If you change the man to like a Munn, like sort of like a Silverman,
like kind
of
name, Olivia Munn,
it sounds like a legal case, like Batman v Superman.
Yeah. Well, that's a joke. It started with Spider-Man.
Yeah, my lawyer, Joel Spiderman.
It was on Friends where they made that joke. His name's not Joel Spiderman. But anyway.
Batman.
Well, now that we've covered the
we've gotten
weekly Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
the only thing we have left is South Park and World Series predictions.
Yeah, well, not all of us have watched South Park, but the third episode is just as good as the first two.
Which episode had the member berries?
All of them
so far. Yeah,
so far they've been everyone.
Remember the member berries.
Oh man. Yeah, it's just getting better and better.
Yes.
South Park is so awesome.
It is so smartly written. I can't say that enough. It's so sharp.
So I'm going to leave that into our World Series prediction so we can get
that's
up out
right.
Of here.
The newest one was the debate.
Yeah.
And I was going to say,
it's so well done.
Whatever he says, just say he's lying.
I was going to say,
remember Kyle? Remember the 2010 Giants? Remember Aubrey Huff? Oh, yeah, Aubrey Huff.
So,
all right. I also remember 2012 and 2014. All
right, well, I'm going to get mine out quick because I'm going to say whoever wins the Cubs-Giants series, because that's who the Giants are going to face, whoever wins the Cubs-Giants series is going to win the World Series. The AL representative will be the Indians. That's my prediction.
Okay. That's fair. While I love your Giants, I really want to see the Cubs go, and I think the Cubs are going to do it this year, so I'm going to say it's going to be the Cubs and the Indians. And that would be a great series to watch.
It would be.
I mean, the Giants and Indians would
anyone
be great,
but the Dodgers.
Too, but, yeah.
ABD. Anyone but the Dodgers.
Oh, they won't make it.
No.
I don't know. I mean, they have Washington's number, so I think they're going to get to the NL championship. So
the Dodgers.
Yeah, imagine that if it's the Giants, Dodgers, and the NL
choke,
championship.
Though. They always choke. Shit. They always choke in the playoffs. Though,
the Dodgers are
do, but the Nationals do too.
The Dodgers are the dude that goes to the party, gets the girl up the stairs into the bedroom, and then throws up.
That was one of the best analogies by Josh ever.
That's the Dodgers.
So they're you.
I don't get to the bedroom. I just throw up
on her. I'm like, yeah. Hi.
Before we get to the stairs.
You're like Stan, and every woman is Wendy Testaverde. Yeah.
No, Josh doesn't throw up. Josh just like when he just doesn't get the subtle signs that the girl wants to go to the bedroom. He's like, I'm going to stay out here on the dance floor and dance.
Yeah. That's the guy Josh is. I'm like, oh, there's a new Turtles trailer. I'll try it.
Right.
No, Cubs, Indians, and then Cubs win.
What about you?
Okay.
Cubs win.
I mean,
Cubs
I agree win. With everything everyone has said. I don't know who else is in it besides those three teams.
Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't need to know.
Who have a strong team. They do.
Oh, I didn't know the Sox were in it. I didn't know
that. Oh, you know what?
I listened to Bill Simmons.
So the series are Red Sox, Indians, right?
I'm going to rescind my statement.
Yes.
Cubs, Red Sox, because we have a tradition of blowing it as Cleveland and blowing it to the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are on that poppy.
That's
goodwill.
True. But that's what I also have a feeling like, even though he's not a player, I had the same feeling for Vin Scully. Like, and I want to mention Vin real quick before we get out of here because
absolutely.
Being a huge Giants fan, there's one part of the Dodgers organization that I have always cherished and I will miss
the
greatly.
Dodger dogs.
Yeah.
besides Dodgy Dogs. Actually, I think they're overrated. I like Costco Dogs better. But Vin Scully, it was kind of cool because the Giants radio station 680 up in San Francisco, they switched over to Vin for the third inning.
That's really cool.
And he mentioned it too. He's like, the KNBR was allowed me to do the third inning, and he's such a national treasure. And the man grew up a Giants fan, New York Giants fan, to be fair. But he's such a part of this Giants Dodger rivalry, and I'm glad he's going out on his own terms, though. I'm glad he didn't pass away while he was doing it, because, man, it's 87 years old.
He's been
doing baseball for 67 years.
He's up there, yeah.
That is so fucking long.
Which is awesome.
Actually, I think the Indians guy retired too. Some other announcer has been doing it for many years. No, San Diego's guy.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for like 40-something years. But
so now it's just Harry Carey out there.
No, unfortunately, he's gone. Unless Will Ferrell decides to do it. There's always Bob Uecker doing Milwaukee Brewers games.
When is Joe Buck going to retire, though? Because I would love to see him go away.
Yeah, Joe Buck sucks.
I think everybody thinks Joe Buck sucks.
Yeah, why is he just on the job? Fucking anyway, let's not talk about it. That's not in the pod on him. That's pretty much it,
I guess,
for
Cubs in the series.
Cubs in the series.
Go Giants.
Because, like I said, if we can beat the Cubs, who are by far the best team in the playoffs,
there's very little that can
stop us.
I was just being told, of the last teams who have won 100 games, only like four actually ended up winning the World Series.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, this is the baseball, more than any other sport, once you get into the second season, which is the playoffs, it's anyone's game. Like, it really is.
Hockey.
It is. Yeah, you're true. Hockey got it too. I mean, basketball, the top four teams.
Basketball's
always
the best
same.
Team.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then.
Except that 2002 Western Conference Finals.
Football, it's a mixed bag. But baseball.
Football, who knows?
But baseball, yeah. But anyway, so on that note, let's say goodbye. Sitting across from me,
Joshua Potter.
Sitting next to him.
Mouthful of mints.
Remember Josh?
Josh Moorhead.
Remember Mintz?
Remember Kyle Bound?
I love Mintz.
Yes.
Oh, I'm Kyle Bound.
You are Kyle Bound. And I am Dan Villalobos. We'll see you next time. Go Giants!
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thewaywenerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.